it's the body of a tiger with Oliver Reed's head, and it's trying to eat the you know, the other gladiators that all look like Oliver.
I think it's an interesting idea, but I think it comes from a different movie entirely. I don't think it comes from Gladiator, but you know, it got thrown in there somehow.
Yeah, and I think I really thought that there was a problem, and that, you know, replacing all the dialogue with the words Oliver Reed.
Exactly. You know, the dubbing job was great. It really looked like their lips going in that direction. But, again, I think it was a different movie entirely. Oh, pleased with myself. Patting ourselves on the back.
Whee! Yeah. And also, I was really happy with the complete and utter lack of homoerotic subtext, because that always made me a bit squishy about the other Gladiator movies in the past, mm-hmm. Ben-Hur and stuff, you know.
Prince of Tides.
The Prince of Tides. Wouldn't that be phenomenal if just in the middle they just whipped out a badass Gladiator scene in the middle of Prince of Tides? I am the Prince of Tides! I will free roam! I like that part. That was the director's cut. It's only on DVD.
Right, you gotta get that DVD player. Sweeping the nation. James, what did you think of Gladiator?
I thought it was
really?
Yes, exactly. that was pretty much, yeah.
Showed off some impressive sand. This was some sand that we'd really never seen before.
Yeah.
And this is some sand that I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of.
Yeah, at first I thought it was this, you know, the classic sand from, you know, Star Wars and Dune.
Mm-hmm.
But no, then there were subtle differences, and you could really see that this was sand with a different type of tone, a different range.
Exactly.
It just did different things better. It did different things well.
Yeah, it really kind of... You know? Well, I thought it was just kind of a deconstruction of sand in movies, you know?
Yeah.
And then, really putting together the common myths about sands, reorganizing them in a totally new sand paradigm.
And I really thought, though, that it was just really kind of disappointing that they had to replace every individual grain of sand with Oliver Reed's face.
Padding her.
Oh, that was expensive, I think.
That was probably pretty expensive. ILM guys going, they want what?
Hey, if they're willing to pay us. We did Star Wars episode one.
I don't know, but one of the guys just asked me how many Oliver Reeds can dance on the head of an ain or head of a pin. Damn, that would have been funny. Almost.
Well, you know, after after spending years creating Jar Jar Binks, I don't think the ILM guys were all that pissed off about having to deal with the Oliver Reed issue, you know?
In fact, they were thinking about replacing Jar Jar Binks' head with Oliver Reed's.
Oh, that would have been fantastic.
That really would have.
For the special edition that'll come out right after the second end. Like, because, you know, they're going to release the episode one special edition like 2.5 days after episode two comes out.
Mm-hmm.
With new added death of Jar Jar scene. Just like at the very end, it's just like that. It's the exact same movie up until that last shot, the pullback of all of them sitting there, and then just something big and heavy falls into frame and crushes Jar Jar. Nobody pays any attention, it just keeps standing there mugging for the camera. Completely the same movie. Otherwise.
Lucas always intended it to be that way. That
was, but he just forgot. Version. He just didn't have the time to finish. He didn't have the light to finish the shot.
All right. Final comments on Gladiator?
Use of leather, stunning. Oliver Reed, homage. One step too far.
Mm-hmm. Go out and see it. It's a better way to spend 2.5 hours of your time than self-disgust. Unless you're a great big fat man. Or eating wood. James? All right.
Really?
Yeah.
Great. The next movie, another big movie that's just come out that I had the pleasure of seeing, and I mean, I know you two have had the pleasure as well, was John Travolta's science fiction epic.
Battlefield Earth.
And first, let me just say, you know, I get a little tired with the hackneyed premises of movies nowadays. But here was a breath of fresh air. An alien civilization invades Earth and enslaves us.
Well,
my eyes are open.
Yeah. Let me just say that there are a lot of movies that people grow angry with about the trailers. You know, they complain the trailers give away all the good lines, you know, et cetera, et cetera. The trailers give away all the good scenes. This was one movie I was really glad I saw the trailer, because the trailer told me to prepare for battle. And had I not seen that trailer, I might have gone into that movie unprepared for battle.
You would have gotten your ass
kicked. Did you?
Yes, I would have. So fortunately, I was prepared for battle.
Yeah, Mark and I went full fatigues. Good. I borrowed my grandpa's old musket from the Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
He's very old. And he's not really. I'm just kidding.
So you didn't know there were going to be aliens? Because, you know,
no, it just said prepare for battle.
Yeah, okay, because you would add like
a ray gun.
More firepower. Yeah, exactly.
What about a ray gun?
Your grandma's ray gun, right?
Yeah. I was going to bring Nancy Reagan. Tell me she wouldn't scare off alien invaders.
What I really appreciated about this movie was the depth of the research that went into it. They, you know, they didn't go the lazy Star Trek route of, you know, this is what an alien looks like. They really did the research, figured out scientifically that aliens are going to look just like humans except with bad hair.
Well, and
that's how it's going to be.
No, and look, you know, now you're belittling. I think we may have witnessed the first true comeback of the new millennium. I mean, we all saw her and we loved her in Three's Company. We haven't seen Joyce DeWitt in a while. And I think this is on par with Travolta's own comeback in Pulp Fiction. When her portrayal of John Travolta's huge alien forehead, she's just strapped right onto his cranium.
Mm-hmm.
And she plays the forehead with such conviction. When she furrows, you can believe that she's a brow.
I think that it would have been more believable if they hadn't replaced her with Oliver Reed.
Yeah, late in the movie. You know, just kind of the nod, you know, the entire action community going into that. But for most of the movie, it works. Most of the movie.
Most of it. But then it just gets tired.
No, it does. I'll agree with that. Absolutely. But a very inspiring movie. That really inspired me to go out and, you know, take back my community from the aliens. You
right.
know? It's got one of those messages you can carry over into your own life.
It also inspired me to start up a completely ludicrous religion.
Did it?
I really felt compelled to just kind of write out some psychobabble in a form of questions and answers and convince people with lots and lots of money that their thoughts were being interfered with by aliens.
Interesting.
And that I could cleanse them of those bad influences and really set them on a path to enlightenment.
And then you could get them to star in movies.
Right, exactly. About my hackneyed and crappy religion.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's just what inspired me to do.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
How's that coming?
I finished the book. Started last night.
Did you?
Yes.
Inspired me to put my head in the toilet and flush the toilet a lot of times. Which, you know, similar lines, basically. Garrick and I got the same message out of it.
So, final thoughts real quick on Battlefield Earth. I thought it was great. I think you should run right out and partake of its product.
Two flushes up.
Yeah, I don't think you can ever get too much John Travolta.
No.
No, you really can't.
Quick capsule review for me. Just there's a re-released, re-restored, remastered print of Rear Window going around, and I was really excited to see this. And let me tell you, it is superior to the. I saw an original print a few years ago in the film class, and it is superior to the original print in all but one respect. I really wish they wouldn't have replaced all the actors' heads with Oliver Reed.
but it's a great. I liked that choice in that they left Grace Kelly fine.
Oh yeah, you know? So it emphasizes.
Yeah,
have to do that.
You keep the voyeurism in there, you know, the voyeurism subtext. But then you know you set up this paradigm where there are Oliver Reed's and there are Grace Kelly's, you know, and I think it's a very interesting commentary.
But I thought it was really disturbing that they decided to on what's his name's body on
Jamie Stewart's.
No.
Raymond Burr's?
Yes, on Raymond Burr's body, they decided to use Grace Kelly's head instead of Oliver Reed's.
It's a very interesting
commentary. And again, but a whole other level. Is it the smothering of marriage now? Mm-hmm. I mean, what is it, you know?
Well, what I really appreciated was the people who did the restoration actually really did their research and found out that Raymond Burr actually does have really long, dirty hair and a sloping forehead. And so I kind of appreciated the depth of that. It was the most realistic Raymond Burr we'd seen. Up to this point.
They've also decided that they may model the later episode Jar Jar on Raymond Burr.
Wouldn't it be an entirely
That's his
bad
dark
decision.
Fall, I believe, is he just puts on a lot of weight and then plays a TV attorney.
James, did you have a chance to catch Rear Window?
The remaster?
Mm-hmm.
I saw the beginning. Someone called. Okay. So, you know, I saw like the credits, not, but the beginning credits, title side. They looked fantastic.
Well, they really. I thought the new score by the Dust Brothers was a real nice touch.
Yeah, that is kind of.
And
nice touch.
Bringing David Fincher in to redo the title sequence, so that there's all these subtle clues about, you know, what's actually going to happen right there in the opening, with a pumping track by the Dust Brothers, really kind of kicked it up a notch for me.
I did very much appreciate this restored version over the earlier version that I saw on TV, which I found, you know, just really kind of disturbing. I'd be very into the movie for stretches at a time, and all of a sudden the movie would cut to this car commercial. I couldn't really figure out, like, how does this car play into the plot? You know, does Grace Kelly often drive this car? You know, is Jimmy Stewart going to get in this car and drive it somewhere? Is this foreshadowing, you know? And then would the movie would be back on again. I had no idea.
So, final thoughts on Rear Window?
Woo!
It's a good final thought. I liked it, except for the Oliver Reedy and overtones.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning was good.
James, the silent but strong type. last film, do we have any more? Or not? Maybe not last. Do we have any other films to review? Anybody else want any? You feel anything compelled to review anything?
Well, we could talk about something that's it's still in a couple theaters, although you'll have to move quickly to catch it. The John Cusack film, High Fidelity.
I'm trying to remember, when we really like a movie, do we pan it? Or do we talk good about it? I think we pan it, don't we?
When we really like the movie?
Yeah,
I think we pan it.
We pan it.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't like this movie at all.
It was the worst movie I've ever seen in my entire life.
Where are the love stories? You know, where are the real love stories in Hollywood? You know, back then when Humphrey Bogart and, you know, Sarah Bernhardt, because both bees, they'd get together and, you know, there'd be a little intrigue at the beginning of the movie, and then they'd, you know, that's a love story, you know? But, I mean, these dark, dank, depressing Hollywood movies of today where people are breaking up and then getting together and breaking up and it's raining all the time, you know?
Because they never did that in Humphrey Bogart
movies. No.
It's always sunny in Humphrey Bogart movies.
And they let black people get involved with the movie. You know, the classic Hollywood love stories never did that. Where are the love stories these days, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this was, first of all, who told these guys that they were funny? These guys aren't funny. Love isn't funny. Love is happy.
Mm-hmm.
Love is what this country was founded on.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I see when I see High Fidelity? Commie pinko bastards.
Do you see that?
That's what I see.
Yes.
If we ever needed Smokin' Joe McCarthy back in this country, he needs to go after that Cusack fellow.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they fill the movie with such unattractive people. I mean, that Jack Black, that rotund little man, you know, where are the screen idols from yesteryear?
And who told him he was funny? I mean,
no.
Yeah, and
did
and,
the director?
I mean, and could they maybe have just thought about dubbing the singing at the end? Because that guy's voice was like nails on a chalkboard.
And it was it was a song written by a black man.
Right, and why couldn't they got, you know, like Barry Manilow He writes the songs.
Audio footnote. I'm going to let everyone else into my audio footnote. So, did you check the manual? What we actually do? We pan the movie when we really
Is that
what it says?
Yeah, it says the more we like it, the more virulently. I can't talk.
Virulently?
Yes, thank you. We must rip it to shreds.
Wow, that's really rough.
Yeah, we've really got to make people think we hate it.
Because this is terribly mean, misanthropic, and racist if we really, really like a movie. Man, that's mean. That's rough.
What if we think it was one of the best movies of the year?
I don't know, man. We may have to take this one to unprecedented levels.
I mean, I'm ready to go.
Okay, right. let's go. End audio footnote. This movie has the stink of Jew all over it. Audio footnote. You really sure we have to pan the movie and say terrible, horrible things if we like it?
I think you say horrible things about the movie, not about Jews.
Well, that was the most terrible thing I could think of.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's right here in the manual. Yeah. It's in the manual. It's right here. God,
this is not fair.
But I would really appreciate if you'd stop talking about my body odor like that.
All right.
Don't talk about my stink.
Yeah.
I heard you say you. It has the stink of me all over it.
Yeah. All right. I got some
audio footnote. I'm in your attic. That was a Woody Allen reference, but it was a reverse kind of Woody Allen. I'm getting at your addicts musty.
Okay.
And audio footnote.
audio footnote in the pantry. Ooh, it's Wagner in a bottle. Wagner, Eric. Wagner.
Oh, Jewy.
And audio footnote.
Audio footnote in the kitchen. Hey, Jewy. And audio footnote.
All right. I think we can get it.
All right. Final thoughts on High Fidelity.
Oh, stinkeroo.
Oh, I hated it.
Man, it was horrible. It was horrible. The stink of Cthulhu upon it.
Yeah.
Right. How about one last quick movie review? Something out on video recently that I saw that I really think really caught my eye.
What's that?
You are invited to Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen's fashion party. Fashion show. I may have it slightly wrong.
That's
in the
title. Full title of it?
That's the title.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. These two are quickly blossoming into two of the most beautiful young women I've ever seen in my entire life. Gone are those days of their vast and almost boundless resemblance to two small chimpanzees, unable to grasp and use even the simplest of tools. They are really, really shaping up to be some of the most beautiful, attractive, and talented women that Hollywood will have to offer in 50 or so years.
And they really showed their fashion sense in this.
They really did. I have not seen a lime green shirt worn with red hot pants with quite such flair as Mary-Kate pulls it off in the second scene.
Move over, Calvin Klein.
Way over.
Yeah, but... Hold it. You know what I didn't like so much? Building the suspense. Waiting for it. Does the audience have it worked out what's coming up? I didn't like the decision to superimpose Oliver Reed's face.
Ladies and gentlemen, we weren't letting you in on this, but what Jail is Like is just set a record for recall. We have managed to recall and hammer the joke more times than any comedy show in the history of the universe. Oh, wait. Oh, damn it.
What?
They're counting all those cheerleader sketches on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, whatever. Oliver Reed.
I just got the call.
That's a disgrace to the memory of Oliver Reed.
I didn't see it that coming at all.
I didn't see it until you said, did they see it coming? Because I had kind of... After the whole High Fidelity thing, I had wiped it out of my memory. Uh-huh. That was nice recall.
Oh, well, thanks.
That was well-timed.
Came right in as soon as you mentioned the Olsen twins.
You know how good we are?
Yeah.
Because the three of us, we're good. Oh, we're funny people. Okay. If you think we're funny...
We're not interested. 359-9338 is the phone number. We're going to go off to a musical break right about now.
1213 North Market Street is a place you can bring us one chocolate, one vanilla, and one strawberry milkshake.
Yes. Like I said, 359-9338 is the phone number if you need to talk to us for any possible reason. Coming up, we have public service announcements. Very, very important part of our of any given show. And should be very exciting this time out, if only for the opening of Super Happy Fun Time. Because James is a very talented, legitimate musician who has composed a number of songs that I... And it'll be interesting to hear what James has planned for the intro to Super Happy Fun Time.
I'm letting you take it, baby. I'm taking your rhythm.
So stay tuned. Stay tuned for some vital, vital information. Just in general, stay tuned.
Smoke some